Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
Also, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies. I just like to say, fuck. Mike,
jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on,
it's a 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
A bad motherfucker, riding through the night.
Hey.
A 50 motherfucker and I love
come on
bike. Picture me rolling on my chopper on rims.
Yeah.
No love for the other side, no need to be friends.
Hit
the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing.
Hey.
Out and out, cheer, check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket
hey.
After ticket. Man, I ain't gonna pay.
Yeah.
Better do 30 days locked up in CJ.
That's
twist
right.
The throttle, let's get the rolling.
Hey.
My drag bike's on my bike, get the
hey.
Blowin'. A third motherfucker street calling
hey.
Me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come
don't
on.
Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I don't like half the motherfuckers
hey.
That live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rollin' to the bone. Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie. I'ma always
shit.
Hit a bar. My homeboys might rubble, but we never ever fall.
Come
at the
on.
End of the day, we can always stand tall.
Shit.
The gov don't like me, oh fucking well.
Yeah.
I guess you can call me the angel from hell.
Hey!
Hello, ladies. You're unmuted.
Hello. How are you? I'm sorry.
Good. Yeah, oh my fucking God, another picture of me smiling. You like that, huh? I did that just for you.
For me?
No.
Oh.
For Stacy. She sent me a message. Oh my fucking God, another picture of you smiling.
Oh, well, you know, to be honest, it does look nice, you know? And it's not like you have to smile all the time. But it is nice to see.
Yeah, he looks like a little kid sitting on a stool and somebody just squeezed his cheeks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There you go.
I hung up on myself just about, you know, a second ago. All I heard was, ladies, you're unmuted. And next thing I know, I hit the phone. I said, oh, shit. Yeah, Phil, so what's the deal with all these smiles now, you know? Are you just a happy camper or what?
You know, it's my story and I'm not going to tell it.
Hey, you know, that's a wise decision nowadays, absolutely.
No, I was with, I was actually telling that guy's wife a story. And she said, no way, and I said, yeah. And I just happened to smile when they took the picture. Joe snuck up on me. He's been doing that lately.
That's a good thing because they're starting to see the other side of you. Look out.
Yeah, that's the bad part.
Ah. So how's everything on the West Coast?
Everything's good.
Awesome.
Interesting weekend. Everything was good.
Yeah, I had an interesting weekend myself, too. My daughter's
what?
Back in New York.
Okay.
She came down for a visit, and we did the baby shower and had a big family powwow or get-together, whatever you want to call it. And all's good. She's back home, and tonight she was setting up the crib, so everything's underway.
There you go.
Hey. I know.
Hey. Yep.
Oh, have you ever heard of a diaper cake?
A what?
A diaper cake.
Diaper kit, as in K-I-T?
Case.
My friend made one for my daughter at her baby shower. Yeah.
Oh.
Had 125 diapers in it.
Yeah. Megan just picked up hers today for her shower.
Yeah.
And it's actually funny because she did it in a Western theme, so there's old cowboy boots and horses. That is so cool.
Phil, you must be loving this conversation right now.
Well, he's a grandpa, and we're going to be grandma soon, so.
Yep.
He's not going to complain.
Well, one of today's topics is know your rights when dealing with police officers. because, just so you know, a police officer's worst enemy is a well-informed citizen who knows their rights. Because they hate to hear these words. Am I free to go? I do not consent to a search, and I am going to remain silent. Just like, do you know what to do when a police officer stops you?
Shut the fuck up.
That's one of them, but to stop you, a police officer must have a specific reason to suspect your involvement in a specific crime or should be able to tell you the reason that when you ask. This is known as a reasonable suspicion. A police officer will usually pull you over for some type of traffic violation, such as speeding or may not be using your blinker. Throwing a cigarette butt or a gum wrapper out of your car window is reason enough for the officer to pull you over, ticket you for littering, and start asking you all sorts of personal questions. So these are your rights during a traffic stop. The top five things to know about protecting yourself from the police. Number one, safety. The first thing is your safety. You want to put the police officer at ease. Pull over to a safe place, turn off your ignition, stay in the car or on your bike, and keep your hands on the handlebars. At night, turn on the interior lights. Keep your license, registration, and proof of insurance always close by. This one, I don't know about this, but build a trust with the police officer. Being a good citizen, be courteous, stay calm, smile, and don't complain. Fuck. Show respect and say things like, sir or no, sir. Not me. Never badmouth the police officer. Oh, fuck. I don't know who wrote this, but they should have talked to me first. Stay in control of your words, body language, and your emotions. All this takes practice. Try practicing with a friend. Lou and I do it all the time, and I always get him going. The idea is for the police officer to understand that you're just an average, ordinary citizen and let you get on your way down the road. Never touch him and don't run away.
And wait a minute. Did you just say, and don't run over them?
No, don't run away. No.
Okay.
Well, no, let's not run them over. Or if you do, make sure you reverse it.
Number two should be number one. Never talk to a police officer. The only questions you need to answer is your name, address, date of birth, and nothing else. Telling the officer who you are, simply give him your driver's license or ID card. All the information the police officer needs to know about you can be found on your driver's license. And again, do not volunteer any more information than you have to. If he asks you any of your questions, politely say, am I free to go, and don't say another word. Number three is, I'm going to remain silent. The Supreme Court has made a new ruling that you should never talk to a police officer without an attorney. But there's a catch. Before you're allowed not to talk to a police officer, you must tell the officer, I'm going to remain silent, and then keep your mouth shut. You can be falsely accused and charged if you don't say anything. How can you be falsely accused and charged if you don't say anything? Anything you say or can do will be used against you at any time by the police. Number four, just say no to police searches. If the police officer doesn't need your permission to search, he won't be asking. Never get permission to search you, your car, or your home. If a police officer does search you, don't resist and keep saying, I do not consent to this search. Am I free to go? As soon as the police officer asks you a question, ask him, am I free to go? You have to ask him if you're free to go, otherwise he will think you're voluntarily staying. If the officer says that you're being detained or arrested, say to the police officer, I'm going to remain silent. Because anything you say can and will be used against you. They need your permission to have a conversation. Never give it to them. Never voluntarily talk to a police officer. There's no such thing as a friendly chat with an officer. The Supreme Court has recently ruled that you should not talk to him without a lawyer, and you must say, I'm going to remain silent. Notice how I repeated that. It can be very dangerous to talk to the officer or a federal agent. Innocent people have talked to police officers and ended up in jail and prison because they spoke to a police officer without an attorney. They have the same right as you in freedom of speech. They can ask you anything they want, but you should never answer any of their questions. Don't let the police officer try and persuade you to talk. Say something like, I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk to you right now. If the cop insists on talking to you, ask him, am I free to go? The police officer may not like it when you refuse to talk to him and challenge you with words like, if you have nothing to hide, why won't you speak to me? Say again, I told you, I don't have time to talk to you right now, am I free to go? If you forget or the police officer tricks you into talking, it's okay to just start over again and tell him, I'm going to remain silent. The Supreme Court ruled if an officer doesn't doesn't force you to do something, then you are doing it voluntarily. That means the officer starts being intimidating, and you do what he asks because you're afraid. You still have done it voluntarily, and that's cited in Florida versus Bostic in 1991. I'll copy that link for you guys, and I'll put it up in the chat room.
I have a question.
Before
when you get pulled over for, you know, you're in a car driving, you get pulled over for a traffic citation, I know that they can say, you know, license and registration to the driver. But for the passengers in the car who technically are not driving the vehicle and technically, you know, have no involvement with the routine traffic stop, do they also have to, you know, if they turn around and say, well, we want everybody's license, can the passengers in the car say, you know, that they're not part of this routine traffic violation, they're just passengers in the car, and do they have to give up their IDs?
I'm going to remain silent.
So everybody basically has to get on board with that. Okay.
I'm going to remain silent.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
They only know how smart you are when you open your mouth. If you do what the officer asks, you do such allowing him to search your car or answer any of his questions, you are voluntarily complying with his request. So don't comply. Just keep your mouth shut. Unless you say, am I free to go, or I do not consent to a search. You have every right not to talk to a police officer, and you should not speak to a police officer unless you have first consulted with the lawyer who has advised you differently. Police officers depend on fear and intimidation to get what they want from you. Police officers might say they will go easy on you if you talk to them. But we all know they're fucking lawyers. The government has made a law that allows police officers to lie to the American public. Another reason not to trust police officers, so be as nice as possible and stand your ground on your rights. Where do some of your rights come from? Read the 4th and 5th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which I'll put that link in the chat room. Well, Chris, if you're having a hard time listening to this show live, you need it. If you're on, if you got it from any other link other than Google or your internet provider, you're going to have to refresh. Sometimes they screw with us, and people that are trying to listen can't listen. Basically, just try and just refresh your screen, and it should go back to normal. If you're still having problems, send me another message.
That's why I called in last week. I had a really hard time getting in.
Yeah, they were screwing with us last week.
Yeah, so I'm not in the chat tonight.
And a couple of weeks back when I had called in, I was having a tough time getting into the show, too. I think I had texted you, Phil, throughout the show saying that it wasn't allowing me to do anything. So I guess they pick and choose their victims of the week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Traffic stops and your rights. First of all, keep your license, registration, and proof of insurance in an easy, accessible place such as attached to your sun visor. If you're on your bike and you're wearing a vest, put it in your left breast pocket so you can reach with it with your right hand. That way they can't say you tried to take off because most throttles are on the right-hand side. Plus, your bike's probably off anyway, so just tell them you're going to unzip or unbutton. You're going to reach in and give them what they asked you for. Don't make any sudden moves because they'll kick the bike and knock you over. The less time it takes for you to get these items, the less time the officer has to look through your windows and snoop. When pulled over by police officers, stay in the car, turn on the car, have cab lights, and keep your hands in the steering wheel. If you're on your bike, don't put the kickstand down until they tell you to. Stay on your bike. Turn it off. Sit still, relax, and wait for the officer to come to you. Any sudden movements, ducking down, looking nervous, or appearing to be searching for something under your seat is dangerous. Just sit up and naturally be still and try to put them at ease because they like to draw first and ask questions later. They like to ask the first question they use, do you know the reason I pulled you over? The officer is trying to get you to do two things. Admit that you committed a traffic violation, or do you get to voluntarily start a conversation? Remember, the officer is not your friend and should not be trusted. The only thing you should say, I'm going to remain silent, am I free to go? The officer might start asking you personal questions, such as, where are you going? Where have you been? Who did you see? I'm going to point A. Where are you coming from? Point B. You're not going to answer any of my questions. Absolutely not. There is no legal requirement that American citizens provide information about their comings and goings to an officer. It's none of their damn business. Keep asking, am I free to go? You have to speak up and verbally ask the officer if you're allowed to leave. Otherwise, the courts will presume you wanted to stay and talk to the cops of your own free will. Now, in answer to your question, Stacy, listen to this. Passengers in your vehicle need to know their rights as well. They have the same right not to talk to an officer and the right to refuse a search unless it's a pat down for weapons. Police will usually separate the passengers from each other and ask questions to see if their stories match. All passengers should always get the same answer and say, I'm going to remain silent. Am I free to go? Remember, you have to tell the officer you don't want to talk to him. It's the law. How long can a police officer keep you pulled over, detained during a traffic stop? The Supreme Court has said no more than 15 minutes is a reasonable amount of time for an officer to conduct his investigation and allow you to go free. Just keep asking, am I free to go? A good time to ask, am I free to go, is after the officer has given you a warning or a ticket and you have signed it. Once you have signed the ticket and a traffic stop is legal over, says the Supreme Court, there's no law that requires you to stay and talk to the officer or answer any questions. After you sign the ticket, got your license back, you may roll up your window, start your car, and leave. If you're outside the car, ask police officer, am I free to go? If he says yes, then get in your car and leave. Now, car searches and body searches. Remember, the officer won't be asking you if you didn't need your permission to search. The right to be free from unreasonable searches is one of America's most precious first liberties. Just because you're stopped for a traffic violation does not allow a police officer to search your car. However, if you're riding around smoking a blunt and get pulled over, the officer smells marijuana or sees a weapon or drugs in plain view, now he has probable cause to search your car, and that's your own fault. They swore an oath to uphold the Constitution and not violate your rights against unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment. Denying officers' request to search your car, you or your car, is not an admission of guilt. It's your American right. Officers might say, if you have nothing to hide, you should allow me to search. Politely say, I do not consent to a search, am I free to go? The officer is allowed to handcuff you and detain you, even put you in his police car for safety. Don't resist or you will be arrested. There's a big difference between being detained and being arrested. Usually when I get handcuffed, it's for my own safety. At least that's what they tell me. Yeah. Say nothing in the police car. They will record your conversation inside the police car. Say nothing to your friend and don't talk to them. If you're arrested and your car is towed, they're allowed to take an inventory of the items in your car. If anything that is found that's illegal, the police will get a warrant and they'll charge you with another crime. During police pat-downs, for the safety of police officers, the law allows to pat down your outer clothing to see if you have any weapons. If he feels something that he might believe is a weapon, then he can go into your pocket and pull the item out that he believes is a weapon. An officer may ask you or even demand that you empty your pockets, but you have the right to say, no, am I free to go? There's no law that requires you to empty your pockets when asked. The only time a police officer should be taking your personal property or pockets is after you've been arrested. If they stop you on the sidewalk, never give consent to talk to an officer. The officer stops you and asks to speak to you. You're perfectly within your rights to say, I do not wish to speak with you. Goodbye. At this point, you should be free to leave. The next step the officer might take is to ask for your identification. If you have identification on you, tell them where it is and ask permission to reach for it. Some states are not required to show an ID unless the officer has reasonable suspicion you committed a crime. Know the laws in your state. The officer will start by asking you questions again. At this point, you may ask, am I free to go? Just keep saying, am I free to go? They need your permission to have a conversation. Never give it to them. There's no law that says you must tell where you're going or where you've been, so keep your mouth shut and say nothing. Don't answer any questions except name, address, and age until you have a lawyer. Any questions?
No,
but, you know, you watch all them damn cop shows on TV, and I don't know how many times I've seen them put people in cuffs and give them a riot or whatever you want to call it without actually, you know, placing them under arrest.
Yeah, but what are you watching?
Those stupid shows that play on TV every now and then, the cop shows. That's like years ago when we used to watch that stuff.
Yeah, but what are you watching? What are you watching? What's it made for?
Oh, of course. It's made for TV.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Because we all sit there and go, look at that stupid motherfucker. I'd never do that. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't fucking do that.
Uh-oh.
But then do you know how many people do? Huh. And those are the ones that say they won't do it.
The thing is that if, you know, the problem is that if your rights have been violated and it's your word against their word, the problem is that, you know, a lot of times it comes up their word is the right way and your stuff is the wrong way. And, you know, you may know the laws, you may know how to conduct yourself, but, you know, when are the cops going to learn how to conduct themselves the right way?
Well, there you go. Can we trust them?
Well,
no.
I will say this. There are some. I'm not saying in regards to the trust issue here, but there are ones that will respect you in regards to the approaching. They're not coming at you like a bat out of the hell. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where they'll come at you calmly. And just, okay, whatever proof, and they're fine. But then there's other ones that are excessively cocky. They know it. And those are the ones that I would be more concerned with than the ones that are more approachable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but here, listen.
It's not like I'm going to sit there. Right. It's not like I'm going to sit there and say, oh, you're my best friend.
Yeah, you're going to jail because you...
You know, let me share a little story with you guys. You know, I always preach to my nieces and nephews and my friends, a cop is always a cop, whether he's on duty or off duty. And they think like a cop, they're on duty or off duty.
Right.
And the thing is I had, you know, I had talked about this on a couple of shows in the past, about my little run-in with the local police department down here back like 6 months ago. And the thing is that, you know, one of the cops that came to handle what was going on happened to be my childhood friend, a person that grew up in the neighborhood. And in years past, when he was a rookie, I guess, he was kind of cool about stuff. I had a run-in or two with him when he was first on the force, and he kind of just was like, you know, hey, blah, 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 you know, go about your business, do what you got to do. But this last time around, I truly understood the words that I preach, once a cop, always a cop, because the situation was a little bit different, and he came in to where I was being detained at like 3 in the morning and read me the friggin' riot act, and I looked at him and I point blank said, get the fuck out of here. And that's exactly what I said, you know, and he was still screaming and yelling at me, and I put the blanket over my head. And that confirmed to me, you know, it doesn't matter how many years you've known a person, whether they're your family member or not, whether it's your best friend's husband or wife, it don't make a motherfucking difference. Once a cop, always a cop, and they always think in that cop mode, and I don't trust any of them. I used to give this particular person a little bit of respect because he had always respected me. When it came down to my word over his officer's word, because now he's been like 25 years on the force, I was the piece of shit. So, you know, I don't trust any of them, not one bit.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah, because they're trained at lying, twisting words, and to be manipulative. And them officers and other law enforcement agents are very skilled at getting information from people, so don't try to outsmart them because you're trying to be the smooth talker. You'll lose. If you keep your mouth shut, you just might come out ahead more than you expected. Now, for what you teach your children, that officers are not always their friend. Officers must contact a parent for permission before they ask your child any questions. Remember, officers are trained to put you at ease and gain your trust. Their job is to find, arrest, and help convict suspect, and suspect is you. I'll tell you a story. This is about 45 years ago. My friends in the car drove us up to the what they call the plaza, which is like a mall now. And we went there, but it was close to where we had this old guy who was always busting our balls. And it was in the summer. Well, actually, it started the summer, and they had all these tomatoes growing in his backyard. So one kid ran up and rang the doorbell when he came out. Ran down the stairs, and we threw all the tomatoes at him. And we went back. Old Italian guy was a real prick. Anyway, the cop comes, and we're all sweaty from running. And he says, you guys, and I said, hey, I'm not talking unless you guys get my mom here. And they put us in the car. Phone number, they called my mom. They came from, she came back from the house, said, I just dropped them off. They couldn't have been them. You're mistaken. They let us out of the car and they let us go.
Yeah.
My mother said, that is the last time I am ever going to lie for you because I did not want to see you and your sitting in that police car. The smart thing to do would have been to go get the old man and bring him down there and say, yeah, that's the guys right there. But they didn't do that. Because this guy, Barney Fife, thought he had scored the big thing. Five young kids thought he was going to... I guess we were like the Bowery Boys.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And then my mom told my dad, and I got a fresh one.
Okay.
Because he knew I did it.
Well, that was just like growing up where I grew up in a small suburban town where there's one tiny little police department. All the kids partied and hung out in the same spots. And, you know, they'd come rumbling through the woods, down onto the water, and there'd be about 50 people there. But immediately they'd see me and several other people, and they would shout out my last name, and they'd be like, just stay right there. And it's like, you know, I mean, if you go back 30-something years, you know, give or take, you know, back then, that's kind of like, you know, my version of profiling, because, you know, they seen me there and they automatically think that I'm up to no good. But that's what I grew up with, the good old boys running the town, and they had their little town favorites of who they'd like to pick on and read the riot act to. And I was just one of the ones back then that would give them a hard time because I didn't care who they were. Because I looked at it like back then, you know, you're a human being, I'm a human being. The only difference between you and I is you got a gun and I don't. I was a total disrespecting foul-mouthed youngster that they love to get a razz out of me. So
I couldn't understand how that would come about.
Yeah, you know, but they use people for whatever they see fit. Anything they think they can twist or get out of you or whatnot, they do it to their advantage. I do not know one single cop that has ever gone out of their way for somebody else out of the goodness of their heart. I'm not saying it's not possible, okay? But whenever involving a cop, there's always hidden agendas. And like I said, that's whether they're on duty or off duty. Because when they're off duty, they still think like they're on duty. You know,
yeah.
It don't make a difference.
No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We were traveling the other day on Interstate 81, okay? And we were on the Massachusetts side, and this dingbat frigging cop is directing traffic. And it's only a two-lane road, so traffic's, you know, one side's got to stop, then the traffic goes through, then another side's got to stop, then the traffic goes through. And I'm approaching this, and he doesn't have his hand up for me to stop, but yeah, he's directing other traffic. Finally, I get about, I don't know, maybe 100 feet away from him. He puts his hand up, and he's yelling at me, you need to freaking stop. And when I drove by him very slowly, because I did this on purpose, I mumbled out the window for him to hear me. I'm like, you dumbass. I'm like, go back to traffic directing school. And I flipped him the bird. And my nieces were 20 and 21, and they're like, oh, my God, what are you doing? I'm like, he's a dumb motherfucker, and that's the bottom line to me. They're like, holy shit, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, they're human just like me, and if he can turn around and mouth off to me, I'm going to turn around and mouth off to him while he's directing traffic. I'm like, whatever. But that's the way I roll.
Yeah. Well, I had one do that to me yesterday. I was, I got off the 5, and I was going to stop at Bill's, but he was gone already. And I kept going east, and I got to the bottom of the hill by El Camino. And there's 2 black guys in a car, and a guy crossing the street, and he turns and he just starts beating on the hood of the car. Now, right behind them in the shopping center is the police station. The next thing I know, they're coming out, they're flying on bikes, cars. The guy pulls up with the dog jumps out and he goes after the old man, and the guy's literally beating the dog with a baton to let go of the old man.
Oh my God.
Because I guess the old man, he went against the light, and traffic had to stop for him to cross. So I guess these 2 guys blew a horn, and the next thing you know, he's beating on another car. So the one guy says, I'm sitting there looking at him on my bike. I'm like 3 feet from his car window, and I hear him tell the cop, you want me to pull over? The guy says, yeah, pull that fucking car to the curb. So they pull the guy out of the car. They handcuff him and put him on the curb. The other guy's laying on the other side. The two guys are clubbing him with batons. And the one guy's trying to help the guy get the dog to let go of the guy that got on the ground. And then I'm looking at on their cars, and I can read their lips. They're going, what the fuck? Why did you stick the, you know, one guy, why did you stick the dog on? They pulled over and were complaining to the sergeant. They jumped over, ran out, and went up and talked to the sergeant. After that, I was told I needed to move on. So I went down to the next light, which is the entrance to the police station, and then you can make a U-turn there. But by this time, the traffic going west, it's all stopped, and they're all looking, all the looky-loos. So I swing all the way over to the right side on the curb, and I'm in the bike lane now. And the guy hollers on the PA, that's not a bike lane. And I holler back, but I'm riding my bike. And I make a right turn, and I turn, I get into the turn lane, and I make a U-turn at the shopping center, and I go back, and I go to the front of the line, waiting to make a left turn now, to go back right where they're at. And the guy says, if you come around one more time, I'm going to arrest you. And I hollered, for what? And knowing me, I went and I did the same. I made another U-turn. I took the bike lane again. I made another U-turn. I got to the front of the line, and I gave him the finger as I went by.
Yeah, they there's a strip of road in Massachusetts that even myself when I was younger, it was called the Avenue, and all the kids hung out there. You cruise the strip, you pick up guys, you pick up chicks, whatever. And it was cool back when I was younger. It got a little bit rougher now that I'm older. But the thing is that the cops would watch the kids cruising the strip, and if you went around more than 3 times, they were writing everybody traffic violations. And it made the papers and everything, but they were adamant on, you know, breaking up the cruising frenzy that went along this certain strip of road. And needless to say, they still, you know, people are still out there cruising the avenue and doing their stuff. That was just like a minor, I guess, setback, whatever you want to call it. But it got everybody in a tizzy because they deemed it as you went around the avenue strip 3 times, you were loitering, this, that, and the freaking other, and all they were doing was writing a bunch of tickets to a bunch of 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids.
Yeah, because you know why he's going to pay that ticket?
Mommy and Daddy.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they know what they're doing. When you're pulling over a bunch of kids, the first thing the kids want to do is talk nice to the officer and treat them with respect and this, that, and the other. And 90% of them were sinking their own asses. So, you know, they don't know any better. And you know, the town made money off that.
You know, I think I grew up in a bubble because in the neighborhood I came from, we were lucky to see a cop cruise the neighborhood once every couple months. I'm not kidding. Nothing happened in the section of the town that I grew up in. Everybody knew everybody. It was a homeowners association. You know what I mean?
Yep,
so,
that's kind of the way it was here, but it everything would be quiet. The cops never really cruised the avenues, the side streets, rather. They stood on the main roads, but I swear to God, Nora, they knew when the high school kids were having a party at one of the beaches because they were there. You know, it didn't matter what, they showed up. But, I mean, they were low-key in the little town, Rhode Island, that I grew up in. But the town adjacent's a city, and that city's got a lot of riffraff in it. So as soon as you crossed the line, you knew, you know, if it was a Friday or Saturday and you were heading to the avenue, you knew you were going to get into some type of mischief somehow, some way.
Right. See, that was the difference. Like, in the section of the town that I grew up in, there was a river that divided the two sides, the north end of it and the south end. Okay, so I was on the north end, which was very quiet. There was never an accident, there was never a burglar, there was just no crime. It was a 3-block radius. You know what I mean? But if you went on the south side of the canal, wow, they were everywhere. They were everywhere. That was the worst part of the town that I grew up in. And to this day, it still is.
Is that at?
Huh?
Where's that at?
That's in Harvey.
Harvey? Well, I understand Wicker Park is still like going to Afghanistan, is it?
Yeah. And Marquette Park is worse. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. Well, thank God you're so familiar with, you know, here, because the only thing that's changed is it's gotten worse, you know, in those areas for you, because you grew up in the city. I didn't. Daylight is safer always as pertains to the nighttime. Nighttime, you don't catch people stepping through there, not even in the Englewood neighborhood. Hell no. Nobody goes in there.
That's kind of, you know, even now, the stripper road I was talking about, the avenue, what it was when I was a kid and what it is now, I mean, you got people growing up in the little suburban town of Rhode Island that I grew up in, that their kids don't even venture over the state line, you know, because it's just too much excitement for the little rich folks that live in that town.
Right.
But you have plenty of kids that, you know, deem that city Ghettoville, to put it, you know, nicely. I just call it Gotham City. You know, I'm like, that's the armpit of Massachusetts right there. Nice stinkhole.
But, you know, you have that everywhere. And I have heard about that area of
You know, the problem is that, you know, you've got more poverty. You've got larger families living in smaller environments. You've got overpopulation. You have no work. And that creates a bit of a havoc. And I mean, you never had shootings in the city when I was a kid and, you know, I was hanging out there. But now, you know, it's like once a month somebody's getting shot, somebody's getting stabbed. You've got gang banging, you know, hardcore rumbles happening in the park system. And, you know, it's a totally different way of life. And, you know, being a parent, going to be a grandmother, I can understand why some of the aristocratical parents that live in Rhode Island will not let their families venture over the line, because it's two totally different worlds. So,
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because really, I mean, I can remember being 16 and 17 and 18 and hanging out way past midnight. When I was 18, I was out to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Nobody bothered you. People, you know, you hung with your people and that was it. And now if you're hanging out there at that time of night, you know, there's a good possibility you can get caught in a crossfire of gunfire, you know. You just, and if you're not city smart, like there's a lot of folks that, you know, are in my mother's town, that's right over the line, that aren't city smart. They don't know, you know, when a group of people's approaching you to, like, basically lock your doors, roll up the window, and be on your way. You know, people aren't, you know, street smart or street savvy, and that's a big problem too, because you got to learn how to protect yourself and to know, you know, what area you should be in and what area you should not be in once the sun goes down.
Well, in Mexico, and I got gas, and then I got out on the main drag, and I was going to get back on the freeway. There's a drunk guy walking across the freeway. I'm like, I know what these guys are up to in the back of my mind. And as I approached this guy, he thought I was going to stop. I didn't, because they were going to run up the sides of the freeway, try and rob me. And needless to say, I ran him off to the side. He jumped over the guardrail.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Him and his friends probably waited for somebody else that didn't know what was going on.
You know, it's strange because, like, further south, like, where, so, like, where your family's from, further south from there, back in the day, there used to be a mile-long strip and where everybody would drag, you know. So everybody's out on the side of the road, kind of like in the Fast and the Furious kind of thing, you know. People are out along the whole road or the side of the roadside, all right, as the cars are racing down this mile stretch of road. No cops ever showed up, but it was cool, you know. But it's just weird how things could take place way back when compared to now. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just
no
talking it out there. Oh, you know, I do want to see something because you hit on something, if you don't mind, real quick, last week that I wanted to get in and see something. But there was just so much going on with the topic that we did. Thursday. In the beginning, you were voicing in regards to the video. What I find is ridiculous. Who the hell gives anybody the right, if you need a new appliance, that how the surveillance is going to work now? Now they're going to have things attached to dishwashers and whatnot, you know. So now you can't say it's invading your privacy because that's gone, you know. Now with my appliances, as old as they are, I don't have to worry about that part anyway. But I find it ridiculous. What do they need to hear? What does everyone need to hear in order to get on with life? You know, do they want to hear that couples fight? Do they want to hear that people are talking about sex? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. Is it that important for people to sit there and listen every time you're on a phone? You're in a crowd, you're wherever, in your car, you know, and now they're going to focus more on inside your own home. Okay, what's the next thing? They're going to watch you having sex?
No, they want to know how many times you fought first thing in the morning when you get up.
Was that the punchline?
It was supposed to be funny and nobody laughed. Okay,
I'm sorry. No, I mean, it is funny. But, you know, the reality is, you know, how to stop it? How do you stop what has been coming and coming and coming, and nobody has seen it until finally it got to a point to where everything is just no privacy? You know, if I want to sit outside on my front porch, have a cigarette, and talk on the phone, okay, who's to say there's not a drone on the other side of my house? You don't know. Not that you have to be paranoid by any means, but unfortunately, in this day and age, everything has completely changed. You know, it's not like, you know, how they look at, you know, when we were kids, we could all hang out with all different groups in the same circle, meaning you got your jocks, you got your cheerleaders, you had your partiers, you had your hard asses, and you had people that just didn't do anything. But you could all hang out together, whatever, bullshit, you know, and just have a decent time. Now if they see a crowd, ooh, you know, okay, activities going. You know, I find it ridiculous. We came from a place where we had more freedom than, unfortunately, what our children, our grandchildren, and so on are ever going to have in life.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to go back to the old pencil and paper and we have to write things because we don't want to say anything in our home because the big guy's listening?
Well, here. Okay.
Or do we all have quiet sex and hope that nobody hears anything? A squeak of a mattress or, you know, the floor, wherever you're going to do it at?
Here's a ruling out of a California district court that may give you some satisfaction to what you're talking about because this goes along with it. But in a class action lawsuit against Hulu, the District Court for Northern District of California ruled that the video content you view online falls under the Video Privacy Protection Act. This applies even if you don't pay for the content, the way renters and buyers had to do back in VHS days. They passed it in 1988, and it's a long time coming and not a moment too soon. The Electronic Frontier Foundation contends another video content business, Netflix, encourages legislation to amend. So basically, when you turn on your stuff,
right,
and you try and make a copy of something or you try and share it with somebody, but the court says your viewing habits are private and protected. So unless they have a warrant to bug your house, whatever goes on in your house is your stuff.
But that's in California.
What happens to me today could happen to you tomorrow.
Right.
What happens to you today,
year, whatever. Right.
To me tomorrow.
Right.
Okay. Think
Which
out of the
I
box.
Get that.
Think
right.
Out of
the- and I get that. But until then, you know, this is what I'm looking at. Until then, you know, this is, I find it nuts. I find it just utterly insane that anyone can sit there and they get away with it. Everybody gets away with something. And, you know, for what? To be the top dog? I'm just in awe. You know, I never thought being a kid, I would grow up and come into a society where everything has to be heard, watched, you know, I mean, just picked through like a fine-tooth comb. I never thought that this would ever come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, none of us have. We didn't think that as being kids.
Yeah.
Now, and I missed this show with the appliances. So, Phil, maybe you could give me a little bit of a rundown as to, you know, what all that about, what is that's about. And I'm inclined to believe it would be all these digitally operated machines, et cetera, that all run on circuits.
For one is your cable box.
Yeah, that I knew about.
Yeah.
The other is anything you do on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other is anything that happens to your fax machine. Anything that you text. Because they said that the warrantless cell phone tracking is legal.
Yeah. They don't have to notify you. You know, and they're not going to sit there. When you got your contract with your phone server, Stacy, which is the same as mine, okay, now to us, it shows that they don't share your information. Bullshit. They're going to sit there, and they will hand it over, and you don't even know it. They will know your contacts. They will know what the hell you're doing. So, you know, and that is insane. You're paying for a service that's ratting you out. Go figure that one.
Of course.
And what cell company wouldn't do that? AT&T does it. T-Mobile does it. Verizon does it. You know, these are the top, you know, cell companies that are openly, they openly tell you, we do not share your information. And right behind your back, wait for that knife because it's coming. At any time, they will turn your info over to the authorities.
Yeah, they will. In a heartbeat.
If they feel deemed in regards to a regular citizen, in regards to any kind of terrorism, any kind of association, whatever they want to pull out of their butt, it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that is bullshit.
Everything is bullshit.
Duh. You know, like I said, I just find it appalling. Where do you go? You can't even go back to your landline because they track that crap. You know, whatever electronics there is, they're tracking it constantly. You know, so we could be, Stacy and Phil, we could be on a three-way call. Hey, how's the grandbaby Joy? It doesn't mean nothing. But to them, it means something.
Mm-hmm.
They could chime in for a minute. Oh, they're just talking about grandbabies. And then come back, we could be talking about a topic for a show or something. Poof, that's all it takes. I mean, they're in and out. They're in and out all the time. You don't have to be anybody, Joe Schmo. And they're on your shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if the president gets chimed in like we do. Interesting. Does Congress? Does the Senate? They get paid enough to sit on their butt.
Yeah, they get it for life, too, when they're done.
Yeah. But do their phones get traced? Or tracked? Do their appliances get tracked? Come on, their vehicles? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a safe society. We're in the unknown of you could sit on your porch, minding your own damn business, and here they come. Poof.
Yeah.
No probable cause.
No.
That's gone out the door.
But it's like anything else. You pay attention to what's going on.
Exactly.
I mean, I haven't had AT&T for 3 years, and there was a guy parked out in front of my house a couple of months ago.
Working on your box. You know, I mean, come on. I just find it nuts. And, you know... Now they affect Skype. You know, they're chiming in on Skype. So anyone that Skypes, I Skype with my friends. You know, but why? It's not, oh, this is why they said, because of possible terrorism. Okay? Stacy, if you and I were talking on Skype, where is our terrorism?
Terrorism is filming me first thing in the water in the morning without my coffee.
But you know what I'm saying. You know, I mean, so they're chiming in up on Skype. You know, okay, well, how many millions of people Skype?
We got people in there. We got people Skyping right now.
Yeah. And, you know, all they're doing is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're listening or they're going to speak. It doesn't matter. The point being, you know, what are they doing wrong? Nothing.
Well, here. Are you ready for those extra 30,000 eyes in the sky?
No.
Yeah.
But they're coming.
The U.S. military and the government aren't supposed to conduct surveillance of Americans on U.S. soil without a warrant or their consent. Yet Obama and our lawmakers cleared the way for 30,000 drones to be used in American airspace. Why? House Resolution 658, the FAA Air Transportation Modernization and Safety Improvement Act. See, they always give it some fucking stupid shit to do this. Passed both the House and the Senate, it authorized the use of 30,000 spy drones over America like the unconstitutional NDAA legislation passed in December of last year. This bill was not lightly reported by mainstream media. Of course not. The media, for the most part, was once again complicit and failed miserably in its responsibility to share this. Try to imagine 30,000 drones flying overhead surveilling in the U.S. If you divide that by 50 states, that's 600 drones per state. I'm gonna tell you guys something. I leave for work in the morning. Nobody, barely maybe 50, 60 cars the whole time my way down to work. And off to the east, I can see the drones flying where they're testing to see how they work. I thought I had one for me the other day because I looked up and it was following me. It was right next to me, about 1,000 feet in the air with the lights on and a little red dot underneath rolling, turning to show you it was. And it wasn't a plane because it was too small. And I thought it was tracking me. Biggest names in the conservative movement from Charles Krauthammer to Drudge are speaking out against this move, calling on the government not only to place restrictions, but ban the use of drones in our airspace. They said on Fox News, I don't want restrictions, I want a ban on this. Drones are instruments of war. The founders had a great aversion to any instruments of war. The use of military inside the United States, it didn't like standing armies. It has all kinds of statutes of using the army in the country. Well, you know, that's like I told you guys a couple weeks ago. There's three police battalions out on Camp Pendleton right now being trained for urban warfare in America.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, welcome America. The tanks are coming. And, you know, because in Florida, you know, they're showing them rolling down the road.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I want to understand why they feel the need to have 30,000 drones out there, you know, investigating the people of the country. They need to turn
it
around.
It doesn't.
They're not
investigating just certain types of people as they would want you to believe. It's all of us.
Right, but let's
with a record, without a record, it doesn't matter.
Well, let's not forget, you know, what Phil has said before, guilty by association, Phil, Nora, and Stacy standing on the street corner. We're now
right.
Considered, you know,
and
whatever.
And here comes Phil. Ooh.
Yeah, whatever. But I just don't, you know, first of all, who's paying for this? Who's funding this? You know, where is that coming from? What exactly are they out to look for? You know, I'd like to see the what do you call that, statistics, logics, whatever, on this wonderful plan and what exactly their game plan is.
Okay.
You know, I could understand sending 30,000 drones, like, you know, maybe to Kuwait, Afghanistan, I don't know, somewhere like that. But I can't understand it here in the United States. And if they're worried and fearful about, you know, people actually standing up for a just cause, then maybe they need to, you know, relook at the Constitution and what this country was founded on and revamp the government instead of, you know, the old cliche, shit rolls downhill. Well, you know, we're the people at the bottom getting smashed with the big meatballs, you know. And I personally feel that, you know, stuff's got to get corrected, but it needs to get corrected at the higher-ups level versus them constantly trying to attack the small peons in the world that just want their voices heard. And yet, once again, it's just crap. It really is. But, you know, who the hell are they to do something like that to the people of this country? And I'm going to assume that 99% of the people in this country are good citizens. And, of course, you've always got a few, you know, turds that are bottom feeders that, you know, whatever. But there's I just can't imagine 30,000 of them things all to just, you know, fly around the area. Heaven forbids they should, like, get down to the border and see what's going on over there. Or heaven forbids that, you know, we should, again, not be training military of another country to become cops or whatever you want to call it. There are so many things that they could be doing with that, and I just don't understand why so many in this country. 30,000 drones. That is absolutely insane. You know, I want to see paperwork. I want to see what is their agenda behind needing so many of those things. And then I want to know how much money is coming out of the taxpayers to fund this. And, you know, why it's necessary. You know, show me the paperwork. That's what I want to see.
Well, it's just like, show me where the money goes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to get, well, who are you? Yeah, what do? Where do you go from here, you know? Let me take a break real quick. I'll be right back. Eleanor, I don't know what to tell you. You're still here. Can you hear me? Stacy. Stacy. Can you guys still hear me? Somebody type into the chat room, will you? Yeah, okay, you can hear me? Yeah, I don't know what happened with those guys. Let me see. Hang on, I'm going to do this while I try and get those guys back. See, when we talk about what they don't like, they do this shit. Are you guys still there? Can you hear me? Alright, I'm gonna try something. Hang on.